Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello friends, this week we have been studying what the Bible says about the spirit of offense. Today I want to focus on biblical offense resolution. Oftentimes people become offended at very small things. Oftentimes it is simply a misperception of an attitude, a word, or an action on the part of another person. And the enemy of your soul would like you to take offense at that perceived wrongdoing and then allow it to grow and grow in your spirit until it becomes full-blown resentment and bitterness. How do we avoid becoming a bitter, resentful, and offended person when there is a genuine offense or sin that has been perpetrated against us? If someone has wronged you, there are specific biblical steps for offense resolution. And the main text that we find is in Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 15. This familiar passage gives us very specific steps on how to resolve an offense between two believers. It says in verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." Very often in the body of Christ, contrary to biblical admonitions, we find believers who will not take the very first step that is given to us here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Instead of going to the brother that has sinned against them, many believers fully ignore this scripture and go to other people and begin to tell that fault to others. This is nothing more than gossip or evil speaking when you will recite the imperfections, faults, or sins of someone else to a third party. The word is very clear. God calls us to go first to the person who has sinned against us, tell him his fault between you and him alone. Or other translation says, go to him privately. That means you haven't bad-mouthed him to other people, to your mother, to your father, to your in-laws, but you've gone first to that person. I have observed this violated time and time again, and when the Word of God is violated, other sins are quick to follow behind. Don't go to other people and rehearse the faults or shortcomings of another brother. Don't go to your mother-in-law or your own mother and rehearse the faults of your spouse. This is a violation of the Word of God, and it brings a stumbling block not only to your own life because you're sinning by speaking evil, but it brings a stumbling block into the life of the person to whom you speak evil of another party. Very few people are mature enough or spiritually equipped to handle an evil report about someone and not take on the offense that the individuals who's complaining already has. Few people can hear an evil report about someone and not take on a negative perception about the other person with whom they have not even had any dealings. That's why the Word of God says to us, go and tell his fault to the person privately. You will be a stumbling block to another person if you speak evil of a third party to your neighbor. God has given us these biblical steps so that resolution, restoration, healing, love can prevail in the body of Christ. Matthew 18:15 says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." The object is obviously restoration of relationship. But what if a person is unresponsive? They don't see the problem. They don't repent for their behavior. And they reject the individual who has come to them. What is that person to do at that point? Verse 16 tells us the next step. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. It is at this point that you have the biblical permission to bring in a third party who is a mature believer. Do not bring in some immature believer or a new convert or a non-believer. Such a person would not have the spiritual maturity to handle that situation in a God-like, Christ-like, love-filled fashion. Such a person would be very tempted to become angry, upset, offended on behalf of the person who is hurt and not walk in love. You would take a mature believer, after explaining the situation that you are trying to follow Matthew 18, would that person come and speak with the both of you for the purpose of restoring the relationship, not for the purpose of persecuting or accusing the other person, but for the purpose and the motive of restoring relationship? If that is your motive, then this would be the proper course to follow. Verse 17 says, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. At that point, you could ask your pastor for an appointment. Explain that you have followed the biblical steps. You've gone to the person and you have explained that you have been hurt by their actions and you wanted resolution and you wanted restoration of fellowship. Explain that the person has not responded, even with a third party involved. At that point, you must be willing to accept the counsel of the pastor, and hopefully this other individual will be willing to come and sit down as well. You must understand, though, when the Bible gives us this outline, it's not so that you can get revenge or prove the other person wrong or put the other person in a negative light and yourself in a self-righteous light. If those motives are in your heart, you will be violating Scripture, not fulfilling it by doing these steps. In verse 18, we find a very interesting statement that Jesus makes right after giving the steps of biblical offense resolution. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Do you recognize that the Word of God gives us some interesting kingdom insights when it says in Mark 11, 25 and 26, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." That is a very clear statement that if you bind up forgiveness on earth, in other words, you're not willing to release forgiveness to the person who has hurt you, you're holding forgiveness back or you're binding it on earth, that forgiveness towards you is bound in heaven. Jesus said it so plainly, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. In other words, release forgiveness towards that person. Release forgiveness, loose forgiveness towards their life so that forgiveness for your own sins and trespasses can be loosed to you from your heavenly Father, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What you bind, hold back, retain on earth will be held back from you in the heavenlies. We find this also in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Again, Jesus' words when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." What does that mean? Blessed is the person who will release mercy to people around them. Mercy to people who don't deserve mercy. Grace to people who don't deserve grace. Favor to those who don't deserve favor. If you'll loose those things on earth, heaven will open to you and pour out mercy, grace, favor, forgiveness. Those are tied together. So what if the offender is not responsive to your attempts to resolve the situation and restore relationship? Then Jesus gave us that word too. Peter asked right after these statements made by Jesus, he asked this question. After all this talk about forgiveness and biblical offense resolution, Peter said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Obviously, Peter was not talking about somebody who had their fellowship restored with him. It's somebody who kept sinning against him. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Jesus simply meant innumerable number of times you are to continue to release forgiveness, even if the other party never repents, never changes, never starts treating you the way you would like, never starts walking in love towards you. The requirement of God upon our lives still remains. We're to release forgiveness to people. Colossians 3 says this, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even also as Christ forgave you, so must also you do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." Biblical offense resolution always is undergirded with the spirit of love, seeking to have restoration of relationship. That's how to live the offense-free lifestyle. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you to have a victorious week.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.